Brad Locke.
And I'm Gene Phelps, and this is Prep Rally.
We're talking Northeast Mississippi High School sports, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a production of the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Talking high school sports here. It's a webcast and a podcast. The webcast around 11 o'clock every Wednesday. A little bit late getting started today, but that's okay. And the podcast version drops later in the afternoon. You can find that in iTunes, your podcast apps, for PrepRally.DJournal.com. I'm Brad Locke, along with Gene Phelps. Gene, how are you making it?
I'm doing okay.
Doing okay. That's all we can hope for, Gene.
That's right.
Be doing okay. Just Gene and I today. Blake is out on assignment. And I want to remind y'all to follow us on Twitter at DJournal Preps. You can find out when new shows are available there. Again, every Wednesday, coming to you here. And we're smack in the middle of football season, so of course we've got plenty of football to talk about.
I just want folks to know that you're not a foot taller than me, but it certainly looks like it.
I think because I'm leaning into the mic.
There you go. I think your chair's a little higher.
Yeah.
And you are taller than I am.
Yeah, but not. But
I look like a midget.
But not that much.
Okay.
But not that much. No. How tall are you, Gene? I'm about 6'1" and a half.
I'm 6 foot.
Yeah, see, so not that much. You got to scoot into the camera, Gene.
Is that it?
That's it. That's the trick. I do this a lot, Gene.
Okay.
I got to know how to make myself look good.
Yeah, I'm kind of leaning back.
That's all right. So what we do during football season, we'll look back at some key results from last week. We'll look ahead to some big games coming up this week. We'll also have Athletes of the Week coming up at the end of the show, so be sure to stick around for that. See who we honor, male and female athlete of the week. Gene's got those ready to go. Let's start off, Gene, by looking back at some big games from last week. Let's start with a blowout. Pontotoc defeats North Pontotoc 38-0. And we actually had an update. We covered that game, and Blake Morgan did. And then Blake also had a story in today's paper about Pontotoc, Gene. I mean, this program that went 6-5 a year ago, you know, they're usually going to be competitive at Pontotoc.
Right.
But they're 5-0 now, and not satisfied with that. They want more. And I think this is a team. But, I mean, at this point, Gene, they're 5-0. They seem legit.
Yeah, and I believe they play Ripley this week.
Yep.
And they've got a really good opportunity. I'm not trying to fire up Ripley or put Pontotoc behind the eight ball, but, you know, a 6-0 start would be quite
huge.
The achievement when you think they were 6-5 last year in Jeff Carter's first season as head coach. Doesn't surprise me. Jeff's a really good coach. This was his first head coaching job after all the many, many years in coaching on all the different levels. High school, he was on Johnny Hill's staff years ago at Tupelo. He's been in the junior college business at, I believe, at Northwest and ICC and maybe even Northeast and at Arkansas State. So Jeff's doing a really good job. He's got a really good son who plays quarterback, Jacob Carter. Surprise, we talked the other day in the office, Blake and I, that maybe we're not surprised by that 38-0 score. Once Pontotoc got rolling, they got rolling. And Blake covered that game, and it was kind of over.
Yeah, and North Pontotoc, you know, I mean, they've got a really good player in Zay Cullins, but we had a story on this earlier in the week. Zay has gotten off to a slow start. He ran for about 2,200 yards last year. He's only got a little over 300 through five games this year, and I think he's only found the end zone like three times. So,
yeah.
And Pontotoc's defense obviously did a good job against him and the rest of that North Pontotoc offense, shutting them out 38-0. Another game, Saltillo finally getting into the win column, and a game that was very sloppy, at least in the first half. Saltillo defeating Baldwin 24-21. Our photographer, Thomas Wells, was shooting that game. He got back. He shot the first half, I think, and then he went and shot something, or he came back after the first half. He said it was just the fumble after fumble after fumble. There must have been 10 or so turnovers combined in the first half.
Right, and I had to run out of the office Friday night. I was inside, and I was listening to some of that ball game. And at one time, I believe Baldwin was up like 21-7.
Yeah, they were.
Seemed to be in control playing against a Saltillo team that had lost 16 consecutive games.
Yeah.
They did not win a game last season. So, and then come back, rally, and then have the opportunity to kick a field goal, a 31-yard field goal by Weston Field Goes, who's a sophomore.
Wow.
On the game's final play. I mean, you couldn't have written a
That's pretty good, man.
Made for TV movie.
Sophomore hitting the kick, and 31 yards in high school is no chip shot.
No.
No.
No, it's not.
It's not. And good job by him. Good job by South Tilla to get that much needed win. And Baldwin now, it looks like they're just down this year, Gene. I mean,
they are. You know, they've got a little easier road coming up in their division.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably win that division, and they'll be in the playoffs. Problem is, you're going to get out of the North. You're going to have to beat Calhoun City or Eupora or East Webster.
Yeah.
Any of those three are really good.
Yeah, they're all really good. Other results from Friday worth noting: Corinth defeated New Albany handily, 48-21. Another big game by that Corinth offense, running that wing T with DT Sheffield and Jalen Cobbs. We'll talk about them a little bit later on. And also, you had Itawamba AHS over Aberdeen, 34-12. Itawamba still unbeaten, right, Gene? It would be hard to leave them out of the rankings for much longer.
They're quietly going about their business.
They sure are. Shannon over Oklahoma, 23-12. Vardaman in a shootout with Thrasher, winning that one 50-38. Boonville over Tishomingo County, 33-14.
You know, Boonville's a team with one loss, and they're having a good season, though.
They are.
They got a really good defense. They got an offense that manages the ball, doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And, you know, I don't know if we'll see the Blue Devils in Jackson, but they will, they're going to have a solid year.
Yeah, they're making some noise, certainly. Let's look now at look ahead to some of this week's games. And, Gene, this week division play begins for some people. Not for everybody, but for a lot of teams. Division play begins. These are the games that really matter. Okay.
Yeah.
And you look first at Tupelo, and when you looked at their non-division schedule, Gene, those first four games, you're thinking, you know, if they just win two or three of those, that's really good. They're 4-0.
Yeah.
They're the number three team in the state. Number one, the new number one team in the journal rankings after Starkville lost last week to Meridian. I mean, they are exceeding expectations a little bit, I guess.
They are. The win over Brandon was really big.
Yeah,
I mean, this is Brandon team was a former number one in the state and was a number two when they came in here. And so Tupelo's earned the accolades that are being bestowed upon them. At this juncture now, though, it's division, a completely different season. Coaches that are 2-2 or 1-3 or 0-4, like say, we're starting a new season. Well, right. Tupelo's got that same mindset, too.
Certainly.
You know, these are the games you've got to win. This is where your record counts because you're trying to finish in top four.
Right.
And actually in the top two. You don't want to go on the road.
Yeah, you
in
don't.
6A.
No, you don't. And they'll open this Friday. It's going to be at home against Hernando. And Hernando is also 4-0, Gene. I'm going to go look at their schedule here because I'm curious as to who they've actually played, Gene. They're 4-0, and now I'm having trouble finding their schedule, Gene.
As you go to that old reliable site.
The old reliable MISSHSFootball.com. That's been a go-to site for years, Gene. But yeah. They're playing another team that's gotten used to winning this year.
They have, and I think Tupelo right now, like a lot of coaches will tell you, they're more concerned about Tupelo than they are probably Hernando.
Yeah.
Tupelo's defense has played well. They've had some moments where they've, like in the Brandon game where they gave up 99 yards on four passes.
Yeah.
After playing so well, I believe Brandon, I went back and looked, Brandon had like 178 yards total offense, and they were really a top-notch offense coming in.
Yeah.
And Tupelo's defense, he put the whammy on them. And, Stefan McGlon, the quarterback for Tupelo, the sophomore, this will be his third start. He's had a big rushing game against Brandon.
Yeah.
I believe 104 yards rushing. He's starting to feel his way around, get used to the game. The coaches really like him. He's starting to take over a little bit of a leadership role from a standpoint of he knows where all the players should be, and he makes sure, in other words, instead of them helping him, He's now turning around and doing what a quarterback's supposed to do and go, hey, you need to get over here, and this is where you need to drop back. You know, so he's doing a good job managing the game. I think they like that. I think they like his maturity for a sophomore.
Yeah.
And, you know, and how Tupelo's offense goes will be how they go this year, because the defense is going to keep them in the game.
Yeah, and the defense has a big task ahead of them. Just looking at the results from Hernando's schedule, again, 4-0, they've beaten three teams from Tennessee, Westwood, Millington Central, and Briarcrest Christian. They've also beaten Lewisburg. And, Gene, I mean, they're averaging like right around 50 points a game. They scored 49, 48, 56, 48.
There
so,
you go.
They know how to put the ball in the end zone. But you mentioned Brandon had a good offense, and Tupelo did a good job against them.
Right. And I don't know anything about the Tennessee teams they played.
Yeah, I don't either. But they've been putting up points on people. So a big test for Tupelo to open Division 1-6A play on Friday. Kossuth, our number one small school at 4-1, going to be at Corinth. And that's this Corinth team, Gene, the 3-2, they're really coming on the last couple of weeks with that wing tee offense that they've really settled into.
Yeah, they've won two straight, and they're really starting to move the ball up and down the field. I know Kossuth. I talked with Brian Kelly, their coach, yesterday, and we were talking about Jay Lee Adams, you know, the state's all-time leading single-game rusher last year, and it was in this Corinth game that he set the record.
That's right.
He rushed for 543 yards. Well, this season, Jay Lee has 547 yards rushing.
Through five games.
Yeah, well, actually, he's played in three and just little bits of the other two. The coach has held him out. He's trying to get him over a nagging injury. I won't say what kind of injury it is, because you don't want to expose your injuries to your opponent. But anyway, he said Jay Lee last week was chomping at the bit to play, but he wanted to, you know, he's getting him ready for this time of year as they get ready to move into division play the following week. So big game, big rivalry game. And, you know, that wing tee, if you don't play assignment football, and we've talked about this about Corinth, you can find yourself in trouble. And D.T. Sheffield can fly.
He can. I mean, you look at last week's win against New Albany. They had close to 350 yards rushing. Sheffield had a couple of touchdown passes as well. So, I mean, he can mix it up on you. Jalen Cobb's running back had 198 yards, three touchdowns against New Albany. And the week before against Boonville, they won 28-13. And Sheffield, 125 passing, 69 rushing, a couple of touchdowns. So, those two guys make it really tough on you. That's defense. Let's see what else we got. We got Oxford at number three West Point, our number three large school. Division 1-5A opener, Gene. And Oxford, we're still trying to figure out some things about them. They're 2-2, coming off a loss to Lafayette. Maybe a bit of an upset.
I'm not gonna count the Chargers out. Just about the time you do, they'll turn around and do something. It wouldn't surprise me one bit to hear they beat West Point Friday night. But you don't it's
yeah, they were open last week after the loss to Lafayette.
West Point teams, they're pretty solid.
They are always solid. So we'll see how that one goes. That one's at West Point. And you've got Calhoun City, our number two small school, off to a 4-1 start. And Gene, you wrote about them earlier this week. They're going up to Chattanooga, Tennessee to take on Notre Dame High School.
Yeah, one of the things I probably should have put in the story, but I couldn't remember if we had written it last year. That was one of those deals where Perry Lyles got a call from the Notre Dame coach, and he said Air Force is no longer on a schedule. No, I'm picking. he said they were looking for a game. Somebody had told him about Calhoun City having a really tough 2A program, and I believe I looked it up the other day, Notre Dame's like 3A in the state of Tennessee, not much different in the size. And they scheduled a home and home, and Notre Dame came down last year. And
they won a shootout.
Yeah, did.
But, Calhoun City was missing some guys that game.
They were. They had like nine players out for various reasons. They're going up there this year, and Notre Dame's paying for them to come up there and lodging and that type of thing.
It's a private school. They've got a little money.
So they're helping out Calhoun City, enabling them to make the trip, and they will definitely get some good competition if that's what they're looking for.
Notre Dame also off to a 4-1 start. Calhoun City and Notre Dame, that's an interesting game there, certainly. I don't think we'll be able to go cover that one, though.
No, we won't be up in that. We don't get to go to Notre Dame.
Not going to pay our mileage for that one, Gene. Other key games to watch this week, Aberdeen off to a slow start, but they're going to Shannon. And then you've got Pontotoc, our number four large school at 5-0. We talked about them earlier. Going to be at Ripley, which is 3-1. And Itawamba AHS at 4-0, going to visit Kosciuszko. And Kosciuszko was 1-3 so far this season. So those are just some key games. And again, some teams are opening division play this week. A lot more open division play next week. And then we're really just getting to the meat of the schedule as we get.
Yeah, games that count.
We're already pretty much near the halfway point, which is weird to think. Okay, Gene, we do this every week. Athletes of the Week. We honor a male and female athlete for their exploits on the field. Who we got, Gene?
We'll go with the female, McKinley Montgomery from Mantachie.
Mantachie.
She had two home runs last night in the Lady Mustangs' 8-7 win over Baldwin. Mantachie's had a really good season. They were undefeated at one time. They're 17-3 right now. But McKinley is a really good player, and I'm sure both of those home runs had a lot to do with their win.
Oh, yeah.
And our male athlete of the week, we had mentioned him earlier, Weston Field Gold. That's what we all
field
call
goal
it.
By field goal.
Field goal. Tongue twister. 31-yard field goal for Saltillo. The sophomore came through, helped Saltillo end a 16-game losing streak. Big win. And another rivalry-type game.
Yeah.
And I still think we'll hear from Baldwin before the season.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That was not a good loss for Baldwin. No loss.
It was just
good.
A sloppy game for everybody. Yeah. And that's kind of.
And I know Baldwin, I talked with Michael Gray the week before, and he says, we're desperate for a win.
So now.
Yeah. Congratulations to Saltillo and
Weston Field.
Yeah. As our athlete, male athlete of the week.
All right. Well, good deal. That's it for Prep Rally today. Again, it's a webcast and a podcast. The webcast coming to you around 11 a.m. every Wednesday, live at djournal.com. Catch the replay later in the day. Podcast drops later on in the afternoon in iTunes, your podcast apps, or preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalprep. Send us an email with your thoughts about whatever. PrepRally@JournalInc.com. We will be back next week, Gene, and we'll see what happened, what transpired with some of these division openers. You'll be at Tupelo, correct?
I will.
Okay, we'll see what happens there and with some of these other games. That's it. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll be back here about 11 o'clock next Wednesday. Join us then.